As we jump in, so the slippery slope of conflict, if you grabbed one, if not, that's fine. So what we've kind of been looking at this semester is the different ways that we handle conflict. So escape from conflict, these peace fakers. Obviously there's a spectrum. You just deny that there's an issue that you contributed, or just in general, you fly it and you run. Suicide is obviously the extreme of the escape from conflict. Attack, in the midst of conflict, you assault people either through your words, through manipulation, through your actions of some kind, litigation, or the very extreme is murder. And then in the middle, there's these peacemaking ways of handling conflict and overlooking an offense. We've talked about this in a number of ways, whether it was through forgiveness or just handling certain conflicts a lot, and I've been so convicted of this in the last like 2 weeks, honestly, and how many conflicts. I mean, I think marriage is a hotbed for this, and so many things that are just really minor things that if I would just overlook it, wouldn't be a problem. But I let it fester and turn into something more than actually it ever was, that I imply motive that was not there or whatever, and it starts snowballing, and then we're into this big situation where I would have just been humble and realized it's not a big deal, let it roll off my chest, overlook it, there's no conflict. Reconciliation, once that happens, how do you address that? Maybe there's unforgiveness that you work through. We've talked about that a number of times, or take a person with you if it's significant. There's a number of ways. Go to the person first, speaking words of that build up and are kind. And what we're going to do today is kind of move toward the second half of those peacemaking. So the mediation, the arbitration, accountability, and or negotiation, mediation, arbitration. And even as we've talked about, there's in some of the situations that y'all shared and from the Smiths and Johnsons, what they're needing is this negotiation. Right. It's a different step in the process for handling and resolving. It's not a matter of, well, let me just overlook it and forgive you, or let me, all of the things that we talked about can be applicable and go to them, speak in a certain way, but asking clarifying questions, all of those sort of things. But this is a, we have to address the situation and something has to change. So let's negotiate what that is. And often, when we're engaging in these sort of things, these disagreements occur when it involves material issues. So, for example, two friends disagree on the cost of repairing a property, or you have a neighbor and you share a fence and it breaks, or something happens, and who's going to fix it? Who's responsible? Maybe that's clear, maybe that's not. Or neighbors, oh yeah, that was the second one. Or you. This is a big deal, right? When you're settling disputes over a will or inheritance. And that can be a really, really divisive and conflict-bearing situation where there's material issues at stake and people are vested in what they want and how they perceive these things. And that's just creating a lot of issues where there needs to be negotiation. Or coworkers, even who they're not doing their job adequately on a project, and so you have to pick up their slack, and that can create tension in a number of ways. And so there's not necessarily a one size fits all, but there's issues that you have to take it one step further in negotiating and figuring out what's the solution. And there's a couple, two different ways you can go about this, right? You can cooperate or you can compete. And often, when these material, for lack of a better term, that's what we use as these broad categories, material issues arise, people automatically, we tend to resort to this competitive model of negotiation. And which usually just ends up in a tug of war. I want this, well, I want this, and I don't want that. And you're just going back and forth. And I think one of the positives, just to acknowledge about that, is that in that kind of situation, you do people usually leave feeling like they said what they wanted to say. There's a I got what I was feeling out on the table, and at least I'm at peace with that. They know what I'm wanting. But I do think there are some significant negatives from that sort of just mentality engaging in those conflicts. And really, you're not going to get to the best solution because you're just focusing on surface issues rather than the root problem. So, for example, just talk about one of these examples over a will. I'm going to use an illustration at the end that talks about this, but there's a lot of factors at play probably in why somebody gets so angry and so bent on, I need this, or I don't want that, or you can't have this. It's not just I need $15,000. It's, well, my son needs this. I have this bill that I can't pay. I have these, right? It's layered. And if you're only going back and forth in this competing negotiation and fighting over these surface issues, you're actually never really diving below the surface relationally to figure out what's actually motivating all of these things. And as we are considering what it means to be a peacemaker, either we find ourselves in that situation or we've been brought in, right? The next phase of negotiation is mediation. You bring in a third party to help navigate this. Is being able to acknowledge and dive deep to figure out what is actually motivating those things. It's not just the surface level issues at stake. The other thing is that this kind of negotiation just consumes so much time and frustration because everybody's just making concessions and you're, well, here's this. Well, that's not right. So, well, let's rework it and come up with another deal. And the other thing often is that you can just have damaged relationships because what is presented often is a message that the relational matters are less important than material things at stake. And usually this type of negotiation leads to an overt, not necessarily, sometimes it can be very clear, but sometimes it's more subtle, just intimidation, manipulation, or just attacks, through all of that. And in the Peacemaker study, they just suggest and present a different model of thinking about navigating negotiation. And rather than viewing it as a competition where either I win and you lose, or I get this and you don't, or if you get this, then I don't, it's the zero-sum kind of game, of viewing things as a cooperative, where we're working in this together, that we can consider the interests of the other, and let's work on something where everybody wins. And I think that in principle, that sounds great, but I think it's really challenging. I think there's a number of contexts in which this becomes challenging and layered. One, Christian to Christian, that's one context. Business deals and situations, it's a different dynamic and situation. And so I think you have to have these categories in, don't hear this as a like one size fits all, just generic simplifying kind of way. I do think it's nuanced in the way that situations like this arise. But assuming that this is not a, yeah, I mean, in some ways, business deals, you could probably, there's certain things that could be helpful in this. But personally, as we're thinking about navigating conflicts, I think cooperating and just valuing the interests of others will, one, it will preserve the relationship in a way. And regardless of what is at stake in the material kind of discussion that's negotiated, just remembering that our treasure is in heaven and that what we're called to do is to love people and preserve relationships. And I think Ken Sandy says this really well. He says, in cooperative negotiation, a solution beneficial to all is sought. Underlying concerns and needs are addressed. Complete solutions are pursued. Less time and energy is wasted on defensive posturing, and more attention is paid to personal concern. thus preserving or even improving the relationship. And then y'all mentioned a lot of this, and what we were talking about was suggestions on what the Johnsons or Smiths could do. And so this is not necessarily, I'm guessing, new to you. And but I do think this raises questions, because in that, in the cooperating, we're also not to be doormats. This doesn't mean that you just have to lay down and that your interests don't matter. Because in one very important way, you're to be responsible for your interests, stewarding them. And we're called to be prudent and wise. But what we can't forget is that in all of that, the cross does shape us and call us to view others' needs more important than our own. And like I said, you have to be wise and discerning how and the way and when that applies in different contexts. That doesn't mean, right, in business, that doesn't mean you take a big cut on whatever the income because of, well, there's this disagreement that you're not going to fight over. And so I think you have to hear this in a way that is not so obsessed with all. Philippians 2:3. I was going to read the whole passage, but essentially, Paul is talking about these conflicts, and he says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others." And then he transitions and talks about Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, didn't count equality with God something to be grasped, but took the form of a servant and wore the cross, and therefore God highly exalted him above every name. We're very quickly running out of time. And so what I want to do for the last just a minute or two, obviously I can't get into all of this. And essentially this is, I mean, it's kind of weird to do this in such an overview way, but just a couple of suggestions is, as you're navigating these conflicts, before you have those conversations, prepare. So this acronym PAUSE, the first is prepare for it. And obviously pray, get all the facts. I think one of the most helpful things as I was looking through this is anticipating reactions. How are they going to react when I bring this up? And as you can be prepared for that and giving it forethought, you're not going to be as surprised and jarred in the moment, so that then your response is emotional and reactive. Or even in that, if you anticipate their reaction, plan an alternative, right? If you, this is what I want, but there's a chance that's not going to happen. Well, what's a plan B that I could suggest and be okay with? Going in with that can help that conversation go well. And just planning the way you're going to open. I think giving that forethought, writing it down, making a note card of the bullet points, the things you want to highlight, the reasons, I think can just be helpful for framing the context of just affirming that this is not what you're doing. This is really kind of setting the stage in a helpful way. I think the other thing that's really helpful, that I won't get into all of it, I'll just do the first three. Affirming the relationship. This is huge, and part of it is just the way we speak and conduct ourselves, and really just taking time to understand what's going on in these moments. And y'all talked about this in the way that you addressed the situation. But number three is understanding interests. And really, this is what the whole lesson is about, is in conflicts, often we get hung up because we don't take time to understand the interests of others. And interests are different. They differ from issues. So an issue is this identifiable concrete question, right? Or is this problem? So is it right for you to park in front of my house? There's this issue. And a position is the desired outcome from some issue. So I can park wherever I want. So interests are different from both of those. Interests are the things that are motivating us. It's these concerns and desires, right? It's the, your car blocks my view as I back out of the driveway, and last week I almost ran over your daughter. Like, that's the interest that you have in this situation of why I don't want you to park in my yard. And so I think just being able to navigate and identify those things is really helpful for engaging. On the other side, I'm just going to end with Sandy's quote here, the one under prepare. He says, "This may seem like a lot of work, and it is, but you can either put your time into grumbling about a problem or put that time into carefully negotiating with others. And the sooner you devote your time to planning a solution to the problem, the less time you'll spend stewing over it." And I think that's just a good reminder of, as often we, in the midst of conflict, we resort to just stewing and complaining and never making progress toward the reconciliation. And maybe that looks like spending more time on the preparing so that we can navigate it.
I'm just going to say quickly that as I skimmed through this, it occurred to me that most of us do this in our business lives. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just put together a presentation for a client that we wanted to convince them to do something. These steps, considering where they are in their life, considering how they're going to react, anticipating all their questions, all of that went into preparing this presentation. But yet, when we have a problem with a brother or sister, we just kind of like spew what's in our, why do we not put that same thought into solving a problem? I mean, it really just struck me. Like, this was like the outline of this beautiful presentation that we did where everyone walked away happy. And I'm thinking, gosh, what a great reminder of how we should hold our words until we have prepared a little bit more. And preparing is not just what I'm mad because this, but what could be wrong with them? What could they say? You know, that's just a really strong thought here.
So I'm sorry that was like a fire hose of just quickly running through that. I lost track of time. Any other questions, comments as we wrap up? All right, let me pray for us and we'll head up. Father, I thank you so much for your goodness that you are the God of peace. I pray that you go before us and help us, Lord, to be bold and courageous, but also help us to be attuned and able to discern the interests of others, and may we do so to your glory, for you have done this for us in Christ. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.